Hey, it's New Music Tuesday, and given how things are going around here at the BPP these days, we thought about reviewing Be Realistic, the new album by The Give Ups, or maybe Aim a Little Lower from the No Use in Continuing hot band out there of Wilmington, Delaware, ska scene. But that's not how we roll here, no. We're doing Stay Positive, the new record from the Hold Steady. Lizzie Goodman, great woman of the Still in Business Blender magazine, is here with us. They put pretty girls on the cover. Maybe we should have done that.
That's one way to go to keep everyone interested.
I think that works.
Next time, stay positive.
Stay positive. As we said, stay positive. Hold Steady, you up to this point, I guess they're one of those bands that has people either love them or hate them. Which camp are you in?
Absolute mad love.
Mad love.
Yeah.
How Stay Positive different from what we've heard from the Hold Steady up to this point?
It's really different. I mean, I think sonically the differences are pretty obvious. It's, with the exception of a couple of sort of party jam songs, there's zero songs on the album that have a party jam theme, really.
Right.
That's sort of pure. And
as Massive Nights on the last album,
right?
Did,
or, I mean, that's what they've been famous for.
Right. A song that's designed where everyone, you know, pumps their fist and goes, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this, I mean, there are a couple that sort of you can get into that way, but the main difference is that sonically they're doing more experimenting on this album with different sort of styles. There's a sort of carsy track on there. There's a lot more kind of 80s keyboards than even before,
yes.
If that's possible.
And, well, their keyboard player, Franz, is in a side band that plays like circus music.
Yes.
And that really shows up on this song, on the third song.
Infiltrated.
One for the Cutters. So yeah. They have this weird vocal talkback box on Joke for Jamaica.
Yeah, there's a lot of toys, and they haven't
Correct.
Been a toy band before. But I think thematically, the differences are sort of even more obvious. It's really a song. It's really an album about whether rock and roll will save you.
It is explicitly and implicitly about that. More than any band I can think of, they go meta. They understand what it is to be in a band. Their very first album started off with a positive jam. Then there was the song called Certain Songs, about how important certain songs are.
Right.
Like instant nostalgia. So, you know, the Hold Steady aims to sort of be a soundtrack for your life. Here at the Bryan Park Project, we were thinking about this last night as we were drinking and toasting this show. So this is the first song on the album. It's called Constructive Summer. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Me and my friends alive. Double whiskey, coke, no ice. We drink along in double time. Might drink too much, but we feel fine. We're gonna build something this summer. We're gonna build something this summer. Grant us all the power to drink on top of water towers. With love and trust, it shows all summer.
All right, so there's so much classic Hold Steady there. You have the point where the audience can yell, get hammered.
Yes.
They always sing about drinking, and I've heard them in interviews saying, you know, people think that we drink all the time. And I heard Craig Finn, the lead singer, saying, you know, on all these blogs, every blog in America is like, I was out at a bar and Craig Finn was hammered.
Yes.
And Finn was saying, if I got hammered as much as they say on blogs, but, you know, on all their songs, they're talking about drinking.
It's a little like, you know, the violent femmes complaining that no one thinks they ever get laid. You know, it's like, look, this is, if you're going to sing about it all the time, regardless of whether you're actually doing it, people are going to think that. But it turns out, and in keeping with the sort of new theme that's being revealed on this record, Finn has started jogging 4 miles a day,
and they all
have sort of apparently cut down on the whole, in keeping with the theme, cut down on the whole relentless party thing. But the thing I love about that song and that line got in there is, let this be my annual reminder that we can all be something bigger. I mean, Finn is famous for sort of starting off these records with a thesis statement.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going with this. This is what I'm trying to say. And I think that pretty much sums it up. And that song really tells you what's going to happen in the rest of the album.
Yeah. I mean, that song, so many of the songs do this. That song has the evocation of kind of suburban America. So if you never climbed on top of a water tower and drank, you did it underneath the stadium at the high school or somewhere. And it seems like you did. I don't know. Maybe it's from Dazed and Confused. So it seems like it's going to be about a drinking song. Then you have the guy saying, you know, let this be my annual reminder, which is bittersweet because he's always fooling himself, that we could all be something bigger, which is like, okay, so it's different. But that's exactly the sort of thing after, you know, four beers in on top of your water tower that you say. And then sonically, we heard The Cue to Pianos, which is why this band gets compared. One of the reasons why it gets compared to Springsteen a lot. When asked about this, Finn will always, he loves Springsteen. He'll take it as a compliment. I guess he's asked it so much, but do you think it's an apt comparison? Are there other bands they remind you of?
Well, I mean, one of the things that's great, and you touched on this earlier about this band, is that they're rock fans almost more than they are rock stars. So they tell you who their influences are. I mean, he was just talking about St. Joe Strummer.
Yeah.
It's like they're not keeping those things secret. But I do think he's a lot like Springsteen, and I think the band is a lot like Springsteen. On this record in particular, because it's really an album about. I mean, obviously, Stay Positive, even the title, is a little bit wry. You mm-hmm. know, it's like that's not something you say when things are going well, right?
Yeah.
So to title it that is sort of a choice to remain committed to the salvation through music at a time when things are kind of dark. And I think that is a very Springsteen ethos, the idea of choosing to go yes as opposed to no, but nowhere is there a suggestion that things are good in the meantime. It's all about staying good.
And he tells stories about people often. People making bad choices or choices that, you know, they have to live with. Craig Finn keeps coming back, not on this album, but he keeps coming back to three central characters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the Hold Steady message board, there are theories that every album is a Rashomon and told from a different character's perspective. I don't think that's true. But he tells these stories. Running through his songs is the Mississippi River, sort of like Highway 9 runs through Springsteen songs. But whenever you hear a rock band with a piano, it's going to sound like Springsteen to a lot of people. My friend listens to this and is like, Springsteen, where do they get? I see it. Okay, maybe. This is Thin Lizzy.
he thinks
the guitars sound like Thin Lizzy.
I don't think he's wrong about that. They're borrowing from all over the place. People often comment on the fact that although their sound is very, like, musically specifically, it can be very kind of stadium rock, like Americana, like Springsteen. But I mean, just listen to Finn's delivery. I mean, he's almost a rapper. It's like, what is this? It's just sort of stream of consciousness. There's no real, the song structure in terms of the lyrics is as different from Springsteen as it could possibly be.
He doesn't have a pretty voice. He could sing. No. He could hit his notes, but he doesn't have a pretty voice.
Well, and that's one of the things that comes across with the characters, at least for me as a longtime fan. One of the things I love about this band is that, I mean, do you feel like Finn is a rock star? It's like, you feel like his characters are the rock stars. He sort of invents these alter egos. Egos that exhibit archetypes that we can all relate to, and you feel like he's relating to them as well.
Yeah.
That he's on your team in the audience with the beer and the depression and, you know, the wife at home that maybe he doesn't like and the Catholic ghosts in the closet that he hasn't recovered from.
A lot of Catholicism,
right. Yes.
He also, you could hear him fall in love with the fact that Massachusetts rhymes with both music and Judas. I mean, he's great with the rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this gets to the real big question. You're a music critic. You love the Hold Steady. In 2006, Boys and Girls in America was, named the number one album by most music polls. It sold something like just a little over 100,000 copies. Why is this band not more popular? I have a couple theories. What do you think?
Well, I mean, that's where the Springsteen comparisons stop, right?
Yes.
If they were really, they should really take it that one step further and become sort of millionaires.
They should become more popular, yes.
No, I mean, it's not. It's like, I think it's obvious. I think there's sort of, their sound isn't as marketable as many of the people that they've been compared to. And there is a pastiche thing going on with them. That's what people compare them to. People compare Finn's lyrics to, and that rhyming thing, that sort of off-kilter rhyming thing that you were just describing, to Stephen Malkmus of Pavement, another great band that never sold any albums. I mean, there is something that sort of, there's a detachment with them, even though they're in the moment and this is pure celebration of music. You're also aware, I mean, he starts off on the first album saying that, you know, he was bored when he didn't have a band, so he started a new band. It's like, this is very self-conscious music, and I think in that sense it can be a little disorienting and a little alienating for people who don't get the joke.
Yeah, you're right. Lyrically, though, you know, Springsteen had kind of changed, and now all his lyrics are really spare, but of course in the first album it was just like a jumble of words. He still had some popular, when the first lyric on the first album is like, Madman, Summer, Bummers, Indians in the Summer, whatever that, you know, slew of words is.
Rock haiku.
Yeah,
right?
So Craig Finn does that too. So the big theories are his voice is really off-putting to people. People say that when they just give it a first listen. His spastic stage manager is not rock star, doesn't read as rock star like Springsteen. My theory is what you were talking about before. If people want rock and roll nostalgia, if you are raising a toast to St. Joe Strummer, why not just put on a Clash album?
Right.
Why talk about it meta?
Well, and people who love the Hold Steady know why, but
yes.
It's not obvious.
You got to bring everyone else along. So let's do that through song. Here is, okay, let's use this next song, which is Lord, I'm Discouraged, to listen to the guitar work of Tad Kubler, who is pretty much half the band, along with Craig. This is Lord, I'm Discouraged from Stay Positive.
And I come to your altar, then there's just nothing, and she keeps insisting the sutures and bruises are none of my business. She says that she's sick, but she won't get specific. The sutures and bruises are none of my business. This guy from the north side comes down to visit. His visits, they only take 5 or 6 minutes.
That song's a little more sincere than a lot of rock and roll and a lot of the rest of the Hold Steady.
Yeah, it is.
The Hold Steady is also not, they're an unironic band. They're funny, but it's not about, oh, we're posing as rock. They believe it, maybe.
Right. I mean, that's the tricky thing about sort of what we were saying earlier, just the idea that they understand what they're up to, but they're also truly up to it. It's not as if there's this sort of distance between them and the music that there's no irony, there's no, you know, winking. It's pure love, but it's also, I always find the comparisons to the Catholicism to be really pure. Like he has a deep Catholic history, and the only thing that seems to rival the influence of Catholicism in Craig's life is rock, music. And so it's like this worship. It really feels like you're worshiping with the Hold Steady at the altar of rock, as opposed to, I don't know what you're doing with Springsteen, as opposed to just sort of to watching him deliver this to you. There's a sense of community with Craig that's maybe a little off-putting in its own way. It's maybe a little
You look at him, you're like, this guy's intense. He's always making these gestures with his hands, and he's dancing around. He'll be on Letterman on Wednesday if you want to check out what he's like live. The last time he was on, I think a lot of people were like, who the hell is this guy? So here's one thing about the record, and this is indicative of the music business today. The album I Hold in My Hand is out today. This is New Music Tuesday.
That's right.
A month ago, they pretty much released most of the album except for 3 extra songs that are all bundled at the end of the disc called Untitled.
Right.
You know, when I went to see them live, they said our album is half out. Right. What is the deal with their weird release schedule?
You know, I don't know. I mean, in this day and age, obviously, every minute, it seems, we're talking about some artist's new plan for how to, you know, fake out the kids and get them to go buy their album. And I don't know if that was part of the plan to sort of get it out early. And
well,
then
I worry
people.
And wonder if, like, it was leaked online, so they kind of...
Sure. I mean, that's usually, that's the go-to that you think of when something comes out before its scheduled date. Because this, as far as I know, was always the scheduled release date for the album, or at least in, you know, recent history. So I don't think, that's probably what happened. I don't know. But, you know, it's all worth getting your hands on, if you ask me.
So as we said before, Gideon, Charlemagne, and Hallelujah are 3 characters who show up in all his albums. They're not on this album at all until you get to the extras. Now, here's what's interesting. First song in the extras is called Ask Her for Some Adderall, the study drug. Fans of the Hold Steady, like me, have heard this song live. They've been playing it for a year. In the live version, let's just play a snippet of that and listen for what you don't hear, references to those 3 characters. All right, so no references to them. On the album version, listen to what you hear.
If she asks, just tell her that we're too far gone to deal.
She should know exactly how that feels. If she wants a scene report, don't tell her about the kitchen doors. Tell her we ain't even keeping score no more. If she wants to help the cause, tell her we need sterile gauze. Tell her she should look through all her medicine and see if she's got clonopin. Now Charlemagne don't seem the same.
Charlemagne.
He's skinny, scared, and off his game. He's been hiding from those gentlemen.
What does gentleman rhyme with?
The same tattoos as Gideon.
So there you go. I mean, that's for the fans, right?
You think. I mean, it's like these – it sort of reminds me of Fight Club where, you know, he's got this alter ego and it's like he's trying to kill him off. Maybe these characters are gone for him.
We could talk about it forever. I want to thank you, Lizzie Goodman, and I want to thank you all for listening. We got a few more shows here on the BPP. I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.